This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
There are nearly 20 million military vets in the U.S., and each week we focus on their stories. This is CBS Eye on Veterans.
All right, welcome back to CBS Eye on Veterans, reporting for ConnectingVets.com, the military news and veteran lifestyle website. I am reporter, Navy veteran Phil Briggs. And this week, well, we're going to dive into jobs for veterans and an incredibly cool job space out there that I think is often overlooked, because it seems as though so often America wants to look at college and look at all these things and go and get your degree and get a master's. And if you want to go that way, I'm not trying to dissuade you, but I want to highlight some other genuinely great career paths out there. And one of them is the trucking industry. And I recently came across an email from my friends at Cox Automotive Mobility Fleet Services. The trucking industry and military veterans were cast in the spotlight recently from President Biden's plan to boost trucking employment in an effort to strengthen U.S. supply chains. And I don't want to get into a debate about the role of government and President Biden or whatever, because I mean, I think we all have our 2 cents to share there. But I love that the attention and supporting initiative makes solid sense, as veterans really do hold the skills and the experience that make them ideal candidates to help build the next generation of the trucking workforce. And let's face it, goods and services are moved every single day on the highways and byways across this country, and we need them. This is a vital industry and one that can only grow in the future, which is why I'm glad to talk about it with Marine Corps veteran Kevin Clark, Senior Vice President of Shop Operations. And Devil Dog, how you doing?
Bro, I'm doing well, Phil.
Man, glad to have you, because anytime I could talk about jobs for vets and career paths, it's vital we talk about that. So before we get into the growth in the trucking industry and everything that Cox Mobility Fleet has to offer, let's quick get into how you got involved with this. Marine Corps, I know you were good at firing a gun. I know you were good at one thing, but tell me a little bit about your service. Tell me a little bit about you.
Hey, yeah, sure, Phil. So, you know, every Marine's a rifleman to start, but my main MOS, military occupational skill, I was trained to be a diesel technician. So worked on 5 tons and Humvees and different support vehicles in the Marine Corps. I did 5 years in the Marine Corps, thinking I was going to stay my entire life. New son made me change my view on the world. After that, I came home and started in truck leasing. I was in truck leasing for many years. I was a regional manager when I left there, and then I joined to help start a new company, where at the end of that time, I was an executive vice president and general manager for that company. Now here, I'm senior vice president shop operations at Cox Automotive. One of the best things I've ever done in my career is joining this company, and I'm excited to talk about veterans and how we can help transition veterans on today's podcast.
Now, before we zero in on the work that Cox is doing right now, let's talk big picture. Why is it vital that we talk about this industry right now? Share with me what your outlook is for it. And are jobs going to be growing in this? Because, you know, I know we're moving from fuel-based vehicles to electric. I know there's all this push for, you know, different ways to do things. But is this the jobs of tomorrow?
Actually, it is. We have, in our industry, we are currently in a major technician and driver shortage. The technician shortage is fueled by some of the stuff in your opening. We have a lot of baby boomer technicians retiring out of the business or taking leadership roles in these companies that continue to grow at a pace that far outpaces new technicians coming into the industry. New technicians are hearing from their family members and others that, hey, college is the best path. Focus on, a career in IT, try to go get that master's, et cetera, and really not focus on giving our new children, a chance to get into this trade. It's not super luxurious trade to be a diesel technician or an automotive technician or driver. But it's absolutely key to our American economy that we have these people doing this work that drives America.
Yeah, man. Let's chat a little bit about the actual skills veterans bring with them to this job sector. You'd mentioned it in your intro there, a diesel tech. What are the specific skills you're looking for? And what do you think the veterans really bring to the table here?
You know, I think that's a kind of a transition thing that we got to think about too, right? So the skills, each MOS is going to be trained technically to do the job that they need to do. That will be catered to the military, entrenched in military language and verbiage, but they will become experts in repairing vehicles or whatever other MOS they have. What often isn't talked about is the other qualities that, for instance, in the Marine Corps, I could speak, specifically about it. In the Marine Corps, there is a very goal-oriented day. You're working daily and thinking about solving problems. One of the things the Marine Corps says is improvise, adapt, and overcome. Of course, that's slated for, battle, but you can use improvise, adapt, and overcome in your day-to-day. If you're doing a repair to a vehicle, there's times you're going to have to improvise, adapt, and overcome. If you work your way into leadership, there's times you're going to have to use that. The military breeds great leaders. They teach judgment, tact, integrity, all these things that a lot of the time are overlooked when a person's trying to make a transition and our verbiage doesn't link properly to the civilian world's role.
And I think we both agree on that. You know, the way we come prefabricated out of the military, we are predisposed to knowing a system, to following a plan, to running as a team. Like, we're great at that kind of stuff. And right. Especially in the Navy. I just want to throw that out there. But when it comes to working with Cox now specifically, we've got all those kind of qualities about us. What about the actual systems, the actual engines and the machines we're working on? Do you guys then provide the deep dive into the training on the Peterbilts, the Kenilworths, the Volvo engines, the what's under the hood, the literal nuts and bolts?
Absolutely. At Cox Automotive Mobility Fleet Services, we are investing heavy into military transition. We have our own Fleet Tech Academy. We use this academy to bring new people and create our own technicians, realizing the problem I mentioned earlier. But we're really focused on helping the military transition over into these roles by bringing the taking down all the barriers that would be in the way of a military person, converting their knowledge from the military engines. A lot of those things are the same, but a lot of them are not, right? So we train them on specific OEM software packages and operating components on vehicles so that they can go into the civilian world as a skilled technician. But we also knock down other barriers like providing tools for these folks. Think about that. When you're a new technician, your first thing to do before you get a job, before you have money to pay for it, is make a major investment in a toolbox and a full tool set. Those things can cost $20,000. We knock that barrier down by supporting our technicians with tool sets and that training that they need to get started.
Wow, that's amazing. My neighbor up the street, big time car guy. And I mean, you go into his garage. I mean, it's probably taken him a lifetime to amass that many tools, but he's got, I mean, that's tens, like you said, $20,000 for the opener. I can only imagine, you know, what a seasoned tech has to have at his ready. And the fact that you guys are willing to put up and help the veteran get that as they just join the civilian workforce. Huge, man. That is absolutely huge.
It is. It reminds me of my transition when I had to go into the civilian world. I did not have a large set of tools. I was unable to look at the hiring manager of the civilian job and say without a doubt that I understood the inner workings of a Freightliner or an international truck. Even though I had all these great skills, I had a 5-year career in the military where I was awarded as a technician, awarded as a shop manager and a QC inspector. None of that translated over. So while I had all those great awards and had proven that I could lead a team, run a shop, at a very high efficiency level. My first job when I got home, I was fueling and washing trucks. That's a non-technical job. I have other stories like that. I have a master sergeant that I served under. He stayed. I called him shortly after he got out and asked him what he's doing. And he's like, listen, I have a great job now, but it was so far below his skill level and his pay grade. But he went through the process of trying to transition and he settled, you know, and thankfully for him, I was able to help him and get him into a leadership role where he could share his skill sets with other people and he could learn at the same time. And now he's a regional manager for a very large corporation in America. So.
Starting below your skill level, though, that's so often the case when it comes to the transition. And I'm so glad to hear that Cox Automotive Mobility Fleet Services, you know, that you get it veteran to veteran. If I'm a veteran and I kind of want to start down this path, let's say I come from that background, I'm a gear guy. I want to get in on this. Where in the country is this going down? You'd mentioned that there was a fleet training academy. How do I get involved and where geographically are we in the country?
Let me talk about the academy first, and then I'll talk more about how to get involved in us. So first off, our academy, we have two academies currently, one in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the other in Phoenix, Arizona. We are working with some military bases. We want to open on some military bases. I think that's going well to do that. But that doesn't matter. Those geographic locations, it doesn't matter where you're at. We'll bring you in and take you through the Tech Academy, Fleet Tech Academy, and graduate you out. As far as placement afterward, we're nationwide. We have shops and mobile service vehicles and captive locations all over the country. And just in fleet services, we have 1,500 technicians over on other sides of the business in Cox Automotive. We have many, many hundreds of technician roles out there. And these folks can always go to our website and look for open jobs. But as a part of our investment in military recruiting, we have brought on our own recruiter who is focused on working with the military and recruiting veterans. And we will continue to do that. Our whole recruiting organization knows to go after those people. All of our first line managers know that we have this initiative and we want to focus on giving these people ability to transition and bring them through our Fleet Tech Academy.
Wow. And you said something really cool there, and that's these jobs are nationwide. Although the training centers might be in specific locations, you spread them out. The jobs are nationwide because the trucking industry is nationwide. In layman's terms, am I right to just say that the Cox Fleet Services, you guys are basically working and helping keeping the trucking fleet that's taking goods and services, you know, from Walmarts to grocery stores around the country. You guys are invested in the actual maintenance and fixing the trucks, keeping them on the road. And that is why you cover the entire country, right?
That is absolutely correct. But I would add to that, it's not just heavy duty fleets. It's also smaller and medium sized fleets or medium sized vehicles. We work with clients who provide services at homes and small F-150s, et cetera. We're not, our level of ability to do repair and maintenance brushes all types of assets.
And here I thought when we set the interview that I joked about at the beginning is I thought you guys were just maintaining cable TV bucket trucks. And I was like, how many people have Cox Cable in the country? Y'all have jobs nationwide. But no, that is really cool. You guys have diversified into this vital industry that is transportation and trucking. And super glad, man. Well, again, real quick, just hit me with that the website one more time and where a veteran might go, what I need to know, and how I can help take advantage of everything that Cox Automotive Mobility Fleet Services has open right now.
Yeah, Phil, folks can go to our website at dickinsonfleet.com. We have a career pages there. You can find that link on the website. While on the website, you should take a look at our Fleet Tech Academy and learn more about our academy and what offerings we have for folks who want to join.
And as we stick the landing here, just also wanted to ask, does it look like in the future, this supply chain issue that we, you know, said the government told us affected everything, does it appear that trucking has just huge growth potential because this is something that is going to be with us for a long time? We are always going to have supply chain issues because, frankly, we need supplies in this country. I mean, is it just safe to say that this is a bright spot in any vet's future that wants to get in on this?
I'd absolutely say that. We're always going to have to deliver products and services. And that means there's always going to be maintenance needs on these vehicles. And it's a great job to get into. Right now, the world is focused on clean energy. And as well as at Cox Automotive, we are as well. There will be changes coming where fleets become electrified, but that doesn't mean the lack of maintenance. That's just a cleaner technology, but the vehicle still has a lot of components that qualified technicians have to be able to service. And at Cox Automotive Fleet Services, Mobility Fleet Services, we are preparing for that. And part of our Fleet Tech Academy, we are setting up an electrification segment of that course so that we can think about the future and continue to keep America rolling with products.
Right on, man. And let's put the cherry on top. What kind of money can we make in this industry?
Technicians can make a really good wage, especially now. The market rate for technicians has gone up. We know that techs out there making from 20 to 35, 20 to 40 an hour. At our company, we have a great benefits package. It's best in class benefits package with a great 401k match up to 8%. Great prices on our healthcare packages that keep it very affordable and a lot of time off. But we also, on top of that base pay, our technicians are eligible to earn up to $22,000 in bonuses for things like referring friends and getting ASC certified and so on. So I think the earnings potential for a technician at a start is great, but we also convert those technicians into leaders of other technicians. And you can grow your career just like in any other industry and make a very good living.
Man, up to 40 bucks an hour, man. That's crazy. I mean, I honestly wish I knew more about mechanics. I'd be joining you because that, my friend, is one damn fine career. Awesome. Kevin Clark, you are Senior Vice President of Shop Operations for Cox Automotive Mobility Fleet Services. But at your core, you're always a Marine, man. I thank you so much for looking for our fellow vets and trying to get them on the career path with you.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for your service.
Hoorah. All right. All right, so that does it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. Now, we'd love to hear from you, so follow us on Twitter at IonVeterans, or you can reach me at PhilBriggsVet. I'm always down to get your hot takes and spicy memes, and I'd love to talk to you every week, so please like and subscribe. Hell, even give us a review of the show, because the comments and reviews really help us tailor the show to you. Again, I'm Phil Briggs, Navy veteran and reporter with ConnectingVets.com in Washington, D.C.
And I look forward to talking to you again on another episode of CBS Audio's Eye on Veterans.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.